Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carley, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. One of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarley.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list on a regular basis. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases, non-traumatic seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. Please call instead of email, as I'm getting too many emails to even respond to at this time. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself, for we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the bbsradio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as sharing the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet. For awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good, when they are actually inoculations with disease, and as we are going to learn tonight, also spiritual assaults, and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. So I encourage all of you to tell everyone you know about these broadcasts. I would like to thank the American's Bulletin for sponsoring the show. The American's Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more. You can subscribe to the American's Bulletin by visiting the website, americansbulletin.com, or by calling 541-773-2756. The American's Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year, 6 issues a year. It's the First Amendment Forum for Free Thinking People. And I would like to remind all of you that I'm also now on republicbroadcasting.org every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 2 hours. And I'm going to encourage all of you who are listening tonight to also listen to the archive from yesterday entitled What's Ailing America, Spiritual Warfare, because I'm going to be continuing my conversation with Pastor John Horner and his co-pastor, Pastor Joshua, tonight in regards to many issues which you need to know. And it's too much for us to cover on one show, and we're going to have to do further shows about this very important issue. But what stimulated me to do these shows was that when I was in Kansas City with the Constitutional Party convention and I had a pastor on my show to talk about the Constitutional Party, he, much to my horror, started talking about the biblical references to why God wants us to be in Iraq slaughtering people, in particular Daniel chapter 8. And as God would have me do, because I do not claim to be a knower in terms of the Bible or all matters spiritual, I'm learning those things. The physical is my forte, especially the vaccination assault. But I was blessed to meet Pastor John Horner and his co-pastor Joshua when I was in Kansas City. And I was so blessed to learn that, in fact, my spirit was correct in telling me that Pastor Sanders was misdirected in regards to ensuring people that God wants us in Iraq killing people. And in my discussions with Pastor John, I've learned so many ways that the Bible backs us up in regards to what we should be eating, the fact we should not be inoculating us with disease, we should not be opening doorways to all kinds of demonic infiltrations. And that's a very important thing that people have to realize, that there is a spiritual warfare going on, folks. There are all kinds of entities, and I'm going to let Pastor John take it from here, but they're out there just waiting to lead you down the wrong path. So welcome to the show, Pastor John.
Thank you very much, Dr. Carley.
Okay, just please, since we have a lot of listeners tonight that didn't hear you yesterday, could you give an introduction for yourself, and then let's just take it away.
Sure. My name is John Horner, and co-pastor Joshua, we pastor a small home fellowship, and we have had tremendous manifestations of healing and deliverance for people who have had both seriously traumatic illnesses ranging from cancers to diabetes, and we have simply gone back to the Bible, and we have realized that God has laid out a health plan from time immemorial, and it never fails when it's followed, and it has both a natural side to it and a supernatural side to it. And Dr. Carley, I think we've talked on how we would like to go through a lot of those things, but it's virtually impossible to do it in 1 hour. But we look forward to sharing with the listeners in an ongoing way that when we follow God's both his natural commands for us to live and eat, and then we follow his supernatural commands with employing things like prayer and fasting and bringing together the body of Christ and taking communion
and faith
employed.
Wait, and let me add the nutrient dense superfoods listed in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 6 that you taught me about. But before we go there, Pastor John and Pastor Joshua, I just want to also underline for the listeners, one of the reasons I am so passionate about this being needed to be dealt with on the pastoral level, because that is not my forte. As I said, I'm still learning about that. I do not profess to know anything by any way, shape, or form, people. But just, let's see, on May 2nd of 2008, in the local Charlotte Observer on page 9B, I always read the local paper every day to see what the sheep are being fed. And there was a response by Pastor Billy Graham. You know him, folks, the pastor to George Bush, the one who's over in Iraq killing all these people, or at least sending the young men and women there to do so. And somebody had asked him if it's a sin to be depressed, and whether or not he should take the antidepressant medications that his white coat was suggesting that he take, because his friend had suggested that he just needed to pray and have more faith. And I was not surprised, although very horrified, to see Billy Graham recommend to the person that taking those antidepressants is no different than going to the doctor and have your bone set if you have a broken bone. And this is why it's so important for the people to understand that you are under spiritual assault, that so many of these people that are leading you in a spiritual way are total frauds, and Billy Graham is one of them. I know he knows that antidepressants, all psychiatric drugs, vaccinations, these things are doorways to entities, to demonic forces. They are paths to hell. And here he is telling this person who is putting his life in Billy Graham's hands, yes, go to the doctor and take an antidepressant because you're going to be just fine, because all you have is a chemical imbalance. So this is a very important thing, and I feel so blessed to have found these people who truly walk the talk in regards to those spiritual matters. And as you can tell, I get very excited about these things because I'm so glad to have somebody to back me up along these lines. So if you could please stop, or please start with that aspect of things and then continue on wherever your spirit leads you to go, Pastor John and Pastor Joshua.
Sure. I would like to start because I guess I want to lay a real solid groundwork for the listeners as to the approach that Pastor Josh and I both take when it comes to healing. There is one doctrinal passage in the Bible where we are clearly taught from God what to do if we're sick. And it's interesting that the word in the Greek there for sick, iathemi, is not a word that necessarily denotes even a physical sickness, Dr. Carley. So this word actually could apply even to the depression that has been described in this article and this answer by Billy Graham. You know, I too am grieved that a man that's had that much spiritual attention would actually indicate that sticking drugs in your body is going to rid your body of the depression or counteract the imbalance. I too am grieved with that, because a man that claims to know the word ought to know that there's one passage in the New Testament which I believe God was completely thorough on this. I happen to believe, Dr. Carley, that when God wrote, inspired men to write this, that he wasn't a little bit forgetful. He wasn't behind the times. He wasn't a little off of his rocker and forgetting the basics that man needs. I simply believe that inside God's Word and inside this teaching on healing is the absolute all-inclusive things that we need to know. So I'm going to read from James chapter 5 here.
And before you do, please, before you do, I want to say I totally agree with you, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, because I know that Billy Graham knows that what you're saying is true. And that's what people have to realize. There are frauds out there, and I will say it if nobody else will. They're leading people down the wrong path intentionally. Okay, go ahead. Read what you're going to read.
James 5:13 begins like this. Is any one of you in trouble? Literally, the word can mean afflicted, which can mean both in a spiritual, emotional, mental, or physical way. He should pray. Our first response as a believer, I'm not talking about people who do not know God or Christ. This is instructions to people who do say that they know God and Christ. The instruction is, he should pray. He meaning the person. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Now, it gets very specific here, Dr. Carley, and I like this, because verse 14 says, is any one of you sick? The word could actually mean emotionally or physically. It's more of a general word for sickness. And then here is the instruction from God's timeless words as to how we can guarantee to be healed. It says this, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will, not might, it will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Now, if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And Dr. Carley, you had the blessing, as we all did, of a few Friday nights ago, you got to witness our small home church doing this very thing with people.
Yes.
And watching the healing transpire in both their spirit and even some in their body. And,
yes,
and
I just have to comment on that. That is why I'm so passionate about sharing the word with others, that there are true, and I hate that word believer, and please listen to our show from yesterday where Pastor John explained to the listeners that it's actually more of a knowing if you go back to the origin of these words, but whatever. The point is that there's so many frauds out there. If you go to church today, I don't care if it's a Catholic church, a Christian church, a Jewish temple, you are more likely to find a vaccine clinic than you are the kind of healing that God is talking
very
about
true,
in the Word. Do you agree with me?
Very true, unfortunately. And
yes.
It reveals, Dr. Carley, what Pastor Josh and I commented on yesterday, and that is there's so much deception now. There's so many people who have turned to modern-day conventional thinking, which actually rises and falls with opinion rather than based on true science, which I think is rooted in an understanding of God and how He made the body, and yet the medical perspective is constantly changing their opinion on...
Wait, don't forget pharmakia.
Yes.
What about pharmakia? Please go there.
Yes. Yeah, Revelation, we talked about yesterday, and just in a quick summary, pharmakia is the Greek word that is defined in Moulton's Analytical Greek Lexicon. The first definition is the employment of drugs for any purpose. Second definition is sorcery or magic. And all you have to do is look at your nearest hometown Walgreens, and on the front of their building is a big old witch's kettle with a big stirring stick and stars coming out. They agree that there's a magical, I would even say supernatural, but not supernatural in a good way, supernatural in a bad way. We also mentioned yesterday that Upjohn, who's now been bought out by Pfizer, Upjohn had next to its name on one of their medical buildings, Pastor Josh described, three occultic symbols, Dr. Carley, that were right next to the name. And we have indicated over and over that pharmakia, which is where we get all of our English words, pharmacy, pharmaceutical, pharmacist, it all goes back to ancient Egyptian practices where somebody who was emotionally disturbed, which again the Bible indicates is due to demonic activity, yes, there can be a chemical imbalance, but the chemical imbalance is only the outward manifestation of the reality that an evil spirit is down working in the very cellular life and bloodstream, which causes the chemical imbalance. We believe that Pastor Josh and I have seen over and over again that when somebody has what they call clinical depression, or they're under extreme forms of stress, we deal with these things from a spiritual perspective, and we bring them back to a thorough knowledge of God, His love, His desire that we forgive, His desire that we let loose of things like control and self-condemnation. We have seen people liberated from what they even call clinical depression through dealing with the spiritual roots. And that's what James 5 here is getting at, is it's saying God, who inspired the author James, he is revealing to His people that if you're sick and you do what He says that you should do in this passage, that you will be healed. And we have just simply come to see myself. My testimony is 15 years ago, I decided that I was not going to trust what you call adequately, Dr. Carley, the white coats. I simply put my entire body, soul, and spirit into the hands of my God, who I know loves me. And I said, God, I want my health, healing, and wholeness to be built upon You and my relationship with You. And Dr. Carley, as I shared with you, you know, for 15 years, I have just experienced a wonderful level of divine health. And it comes because as God began to show me that throughout His Word from Genesis to Revelation, if we will employ the simple practices that God says, if we will eat like He says to eat, if we will live like He says to live, if we will love both him and our neighbor, as he says we're to love, we can have an almost impenetrable faith, not force field, let's call it a faith field around us, an almost impenetrable faith field around us, our literal bodies, where we don't get sick. I've had one sick day in 15 years. I've missed one day of work due to sickness, and I simply believe that when God laid out the spiritual laws in the Old and New Testament for health, that if we simply obey them with faith in our relationship with God, that we can walk in a supernatural level of health.
Well, I agree with you, but I want to add to that another level, because it's truly amazing how God works. I brought my car this morning to be cleaned, and as I'm sitting in the office waiting to have somebody drive me back to my house, there was a book there that I started reading, and I forget the title of the book, but it was all about the idea of people understanding that we are all tested. When people get depressed, because there are things to be depressed about in this world that, where Lucifer, I call the evil forces Lucifer, but whatever you call them,
sure,
these evil forces that are destroying our world, and we're seeing it, and we feel helpless, and the spiritual leaders are actually working for the other side, as they're all doing these things, and as we're having things happen to us, as I had to experience my only son being totally devastated, assaulted, and then being given custody to the assaulter, and all the other things that I went through, and I realized that I am being tested, just
yes,
like Job and many others in the Bible
yes
have been tested. God allows us to be tested because it's a
yes
purification, and when
yes
you're tested, the only thing you have is your faith in God, and when
yes
your faith in God keeps you going, the strength and the lack of fear that you have, I am actually blessed by everything I've gone through, because it has made me who I am today. And that's the other thing I want people to realize. You can't go whining to God every time you have a problem, because what you have to realize is that God is waiting for us to do something about it. We're not
yes
supposed to all just be sitting here waiting for Jesus to come down from the clouds and save our sorry backsides. We're supposed to be protecting each other, standing for each other, helping each other, not allowing the evil to continue. And
yes
that is a very important message that I have learned, and I'm very grateful for that. We have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Please.
This is Omar from Oregon.
Hello, Omar. What would you like to add to the conversation?
I'm a Muslim, and we are very similar in the way we deal with sorcery. We also turn to a God alone, and we say prayers, and we cleanse our mind from any thoughts about worshiping others other than God. I would like to tell Pastor
Omar, please. This is so important what you're bringing to the table. So are you telling our listeners who have been propagandized that the Muslims worship a prophet by the name of Muhammad and do not worship the same God as Christians worship? Are you saying that that's not true?
No, absolutely not. We worship the same God. We don't worship Muhammad. We don't worship Jesus, but we believe that Jesus is a messenger of God and has come and will come back.
I do have to jump in here, Omar, because When I use the name God, I need to be very specific, because Jesus Christ did say in John 14:6, and I say this at the expense of possibly offending you, because I'm more interested in your soul than I am in your opinion. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father God except through me." So it's not an attempt to offend you personally. It's an attempt to get you to see that if I haven't been clear in my perspective and clear in my theology, the principles of divine health do not work when it comes to just addressing a generic God. Jesus Christ is the ultimate manifestation on the earth of Yahweh, the God, the creator of heaven. Jesus Christ came and he said in John chapter 10, he said, If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He claimed to be God in the flesh, and I don't have a relationship with God outside of Jesus Christ, and I don't.
Okay, I would like to ask you a question on that one. So Moses and Jonah and Job and all these men are rotting in hell, right?
No, because the Bible says that before Christ came, they all had a faith in God that looked forward to the coming of Christ. We all now have a faith in God that looks back at the coming of Christ. So those men, the Bible actually says very clearly that when Jesus was on the earth, he talked about, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus said, there is a place called Abraham's bosom, where the saints of old were waiting in a place till Jesus actually did die on a cross. They were in a place that the Bible describes literally as a paradise, a place where Abraham was and Isaac and Jacob. They were all in this place. They were waiting for the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed, to be taken to the altar of heaven, to be applied on the altar of heaven, cleansing the heavens from all of the spiritual rottenness and decay that had happened when Satan fell from heaven. When there, as we spoke yesterday, when there was a war in heaven, the war in heaven actually defiled the heavenly altar. See, heaven, Hebrews chapter 9 and 10 speak of the heavenly altar, and when Satan rebelled up there, and that sin was up there, it defiled the heavenly tabernacle and heavenly altar. So the saints of old, Job and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and King David, and all those wonderful men, they waited in a place called Abraham's bosom. When Jesus died and his blood was shed, that blood, Jesus, the Bible even says in Hebrews 10, that blood was then applied inside the heavenly tabernacle on the altar. When the blood cleansed that altar, then it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that all of those saints from Noah on, all of those saints could then go into the final heaven.
So all of the billions
may I say
of,
something?
Wait, yeah, let me just ask a question because I'm sorry, this is getting me excited. So all of the billions of Muslims and Hindus and people of all faiths you can imagine throughout the earth and American Indians and all these people who, because of their tradition and generational passing on of beliefs, and I hate that word beliefs, but all of those people, whether they live by the Ten Commandments or not, since the birth and death of Christ, they're all going to hell too.
Well, what we have to do is we have to understand a passage in Romans 4. Before I can answer that, I want to go to Romans 4, and it says in Romans chapter 4, where there is no law, there is no transgression. So the way I answer that is simply this. When a baby is aborted or killed inside a mother's womb, that baby immediately goes to heaven. When any child dies before there is an understanding of law and transgression, which people want to say, you know, what age is that? I say, I don't know for sure, but the good thing is God does, and he's faithful, he's just. But when a child dies, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'd say even on up to the age of 10, they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but they still go to heaven. Because Romans 4 says, where there is no law, and what it means is when the law of God has not been understood in a person's heart, then transgression is not counted against them. So with that in mind, Dr. Curley, I answer your question in a general way because I cannot be specific because I'm not God. But I can say this, if a person understands sin, and they understand transgression, and they understand that they've done wrong. We have an example in Acts chapter 10 of a man named Cornelius. That man did not know Jesus Christ in a personal way. However, the Bible says that he made sacrifices to God, showing that he acknowledged his Creator. And I believe that what we see happen in that story is what we'll see happen in God's continuing faithfulness to mankind. Because what happened is an angel came to Cornelius and said, your prayers and your sacrifices are going up like an aroma to God. Now we're going to send you a man named Peter. Peter came to Cornelius' house. Cornelius knew nothing of Jesus yet, but Peter came and brought the revelation of Jesus, and that revelation led Cornelius and his household to faith in Christ, and they were saved. Now, I believe that today, across the world, where people acknowledge a creator and yet have not heard the personal good news about Jesus, I believe that if they have come to the place of understanding transgression before God, and they are in some way trying to live a life of faith in God, then I believe God will judge them individually based upon their life if they've never heard about Jesus and Jesus' salvation.
Thank you, thank you. That is so important, because I know so many Jewish people and Muslim people and American Indian people and people of all faiths who are doing the best they can, and this is where the whole generational thing comes in. If you're brought up in a religious faith and that's all you've known since you were born, it's very difficult for you to come to any other realization, especially if you have all of these misinformers, which the Christian faith is full of them, and Billy Graham is top on the list. And that's why just common sense tells me that God is not going to smite every person that's living the Ten Commandments and a living example of Christ, even if they don't profess to know Christ personally, if they are living as Christ to the best of their abilities. It just doesn't make any sense to me that God's going to smite them. I had a young man tell me today that God looks upon people the same as steal a piece of bubble gum as, you know, Adolf Hitler murdering billions of people. I have a problem with that.
Well, but Muslims know Christ.
Yeah.
Pardon me? Go ahead, Omar.
But Muslims know Christ. They just know him differently.
Okay. Well, explain that, please.
Well, we know Christ as a messenger to humanity, who will have a function when he comes back later, and we believe that we honor his mother Mary. We know he performed miracles. We know that he was strengthened by the Holy Spirit, which is in the Quran, our holy book. Is the Archangel Gabriel, that's the Holy Spirit. We know that he also spoke about Muhammad coming after him, actually about 600 years after Jesus.
But not as a Messiah. Wait, I want to make this clear,
because
I had a conversation with Omar off the air. Muhammad was not viewed upon as a Messiah per se. He was just a prophet of knowledge. Is that correct?
He's the final prophet, and Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
Okay, please let Omar finish, and then you can comment, Pastor John. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and his mission is not to have everybody having to go through him, but we believe that we go through him by, you know, we believe in the gospel, we accept the gospel, and the Torah, as they were originally revealed. We believe that these books were changed, and that the worship of Jesus, or seeing him as the Son of God, is part of the lies of history.
Okay, then I'm going to let you respond, Pastor John, but I just want to say one thing, that I know many Jewish people who are very, very wonderful people, and the Jewish people don't believe that the Messiah has come at all. So one thing I want to get across to the listeners, and this is very important, to have a Muslim come on the show, because Omar did call me after yesterday's show, and we talked to some degree, and I wanted him to call in to give the view of the Muslims people. These are not the people you're hearing about on the mainstream media, not to mention the fact, and I don't know if Omar will want to share with us, but Omar has actually studied how to rid people of demons. The Muslims are aware of demons, that there is spiritual warfare, and they are working on this level as well. And that is my mission, is to bring people together, not to make anybody feel that they're better than anybody else, because we are living in a world that's going to be, blown apart, that's going to go into a satanic New World Order slave state. And we have to start looking of ways to come together, understanding that nobody knows everything, and that as long as somebody is living the Ten Commandments and is doing the right thing, that we have to give them grace and just realize we have to embrace them. That's my feeling. Okay, go ahead, Pastor John. Please respond.
Okay. What's that? Okay. Pastor Josh wants to comment just a little bit, too.
Go ahead.
I feel very, very strongly on this subject, and I feel like the only way that I can truthfully answer this is actually just to go into the words of Jesus himself. I cannot accept the fact that belief in God and a basic adherence to the Ten Commandments is going to necessarily get a person a place in heaven, and this is why. Because there is still, the Bible says, a sin issue. There is still a transgression of holy law that no matter how closely you follow the Ten Commandments or you follow truth, the problem is we are all stained, eternally stained with sin. And there's only one thing that the Bible says removes the stain of transgression. See, a lot of people think that we're going to stand before God one day and it's going to, he's going to have a giant scale in front of us and it's going to look like, okay, we hope that my good things that I did outweigh my bad. That is never going to happen.
Okay.
Jesus said, and I'm going to read this right out of the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, he said, verse 5, Thomas, who we sometimes call Doubting Thomas, he asks a very, very important question here. He says, verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, because he didn't understand the concept of heaven fully yet, so how can we know the way, the definite article in the Greek is the way to heaven. Verse 6, Jesus answered, he said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life,
okay.
And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, the only additional thing I
okay,
will
wait,
ask
Okay, wait,
that,
wait, wait. I'm sorry. Please let me respond, and I'm being a devil's advocate here. So you just said that there was a loophole through Abraham's bosom. And we all know that the Jewish people are the quote-unquote chosen people. And none of them believe in Jesus either. So how is it that any of these people are going to get to heaven? And how do you know that those are Jesus' words?
Okay. Well, here I can explain it simply. Before, when Abraham was on the earth, there was no Jesus yet. So men were not accountable to the words, to the life, to the person of Jesus, having not ever seen him. God had a divinely appointed time when Jesus would come to the earth, and the earth would be accountable to the first man who ever claimed that if you saw him, you actually saw God. No other human in history ever made that claim, number one. Number two, no man ever prophesied how he would die, how long he would be dead, that he would be raised again on a certain day and then did it. No man ever did that. The number three is that everyone who died before Christ had that mercy on their life. That's what Scripture clearly says. They were in a place of waiting because the blood of Jesus had not yet been shed. However, when the blood of Jesus was shed at Calvary, that blood became the accountability for every human being on the earth. Every human being has to look at the shed blood of Jesus, who was perfect, who claimed he was from God, who claimed, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. No man ever in the history of planet Earth could make that claim and then substantiate it, not only by raising people from the dead, but by doing the caliber of miracles and the kind of supernatural things that Jesus consistently did. So after the cross, after the historical event of the cross where Jesus died, and he said, I'll be dead 3 days, and then I will come out of that grave, that becomes the accountability point for the rest of humankind. Now, Jesus knew that the Jews as a whole in his day would reject him. But I'm going to tell you, Dr. Carley, why they rejected him and why they're going to be accountable to that same Messiah one day. Because they wanted a Messiah that would liberate them from Rome. They didn't want primarily a spiritual Messiah that would liberate them from sin. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So when he said, listen, it's a whole different kingdom, it isn't going to get you out from the oppression of Rome, the Jews said, well, forget it then. You're not the king we want. And that's the unfortunate thing. They rejected him, and did they have any real grounds? No, because a man that could raise the dead, a man that could fulfill all 300 of the Old Testament prophecies, beginning with the one that said he would be born in Bethlehem in Micah chapter 6, a man that could fulfill all these completely to the T, could not possibly be rejected upon Old Testament grounds. He fulfilled over 300 prophecies exactly.
Okay.
He proved he was the Messiah.
Okay,
so,
and once again, I'll just say that that's what the Bible says, and I'm once again being devil's advocate, because we have no proof of any of this actually being the words of Jesus Christ. That's one thing that I personally have a problem with. But I just want to ask you, Pastor John, and then I'm going to ask Omar to respond to what you've said. So you're telling me that Billy Graham, who is misleading millions and millions of people all over the world because he says that Jesus Christ is his Savior, he's going to be right up there in heaven, he's going to be getting all his rewards, and all the people who are listening to him and going to pharmakia and sorcery and having aborted fetuses injected into them, those people are going to hell, or they're not because they have Christ as their Savior? How does that work?
Okay. I think that's a very good question. The Bible says very clearly,
you need to separate the issues.
Yeah, the issues do need to be separated. The works that people do in addition to the place that they have in their walk with God can indeed determine what kind of experience they will have one day in heaven or what kind of experience they will have one day in hell. The Bible says very clearly that there are levels of rewards in heaven and levels of rewards in hell. But Billy Graham is no less or more of a Christian based upon him getting deceived on the issue of health. We cannot determine, no one can. No one can put themselves in a position like God and say, I know whether a person will be saved based upon the fact that they never got a vaccine, never got an aborted fetus in their body, never took some Prozac, because God doesn't save us based upon our works. He saved us based upon the work of Jesus that was at the cross. So
wait a minute. So you're saying that Billy Graham, who was pastor to George Bush, the biggest warmonger of all times, that he's going to go to heaven and he's going to reap his rewards because of the fact that he believes Jesus is his personal Savior? If he does, I personally think he's a Mason and he worships Lucifer. But whatever the case may be, you're saying that if he does in his heart believe in Jesus Christ, that he's going to go to heaven. And also the other thing you said that I've never heard before is that there's rewards in heaven. How can anybody get to heaven in the first place if they don't believe in Jesus, like the Muslims and the Jewish people and the Hindus? How are all those people even going to get to the gate in the first place to be judged based on their good works?
Okay, Pastor Josh wants to comment here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what's going on here is, so things don't get so convoluted, is number one is the word says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God examines the heart. So my whole thing is where Billy Graham is, where some of these talking heads in the evangelistic sort of realm, it's not my place to even judge that. The word says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So I'm just saying, Father, keep me, number one. So here's the whole deal. There's many, many religions, Dr. Carley, throughout the earth today. And here's a fundamental difference between the many religions, and I'm not going to say a blanket statement of Christianity, but I'll call it pure Christianity or the way, is religion is constantly trying to approach or to appease an angry God to get approval or try to work our way to a place of approval or to satisfy him. What's beautiful about the purity of Christianity is what he did to reach us. And it's about his works, not our works. And really how I look at it in my own life, I've been working this thing out for 23 years, he came after me. I am not good enough. The word says there's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. So let's go ahead and lay it on the table right now. There's no way, because one sin makes a sinner. And so we thank God. I think that the focus should be on this, on the wonderful mercy and grace and love of our Father who put a face on in the form of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh to come reach us. And that's why. It's really a love thing, not necessarily a judgment thing. And so I want to go ahead and address that issue because pure Christianity is the only religion, I hate even using that word, on the face of this planet that has come to reach humanity where we're at, pay the full price by the cross to redeem us. Every religion other than the purity of Christianity is always about trying to work our way to God.
That's right.
And that is a major difference, and that's why I'm so glad that he really came in, you know, to pursue us and to apprehend us and to embrace us. So I wanted to go ahead and interject.
Okay, and I totally agree with what you're saying, and I'm just saying what I'm saying because I'm saying what I know a lot of the listeners want to hear responded to, because as I told both of you when I was in Kansas City, the church group that you have is the only one I have ever seen in my life that lives by the principles of Christ. You are the only ones, and I have gone to more churches than I can tell you, trying to find a pastor or priest even to speak out against these satanic objections of vaccinations. As you know, that's my passion. That's why I'm bringing up these matters. But I just wanted Omar, are you still there, if you could respond also to what they're saying.
I'm still here. The Quran says no soul shall bear the burden of another. And so we don't accept that Jesus shall bear our sins. But back to sorcery, we believe that demons, the main thing they do is turn people on each other. And the way they do that is they have an influence on the human being using the hormonal system and other physiological processes. But if you fear them, then they become stronger toward you and bolder. So you shouldn't fear them. They just play mind games with you. And if you turn to God alone and ask God for safety from them, then that's all you have to do.
Okay, well, I want to thank you so much for calling in and giving this other viewpoint, because I wanted the listeners to hear from a devout Muslim what the Muslim view on things is, that it's very similar, and I'm just, as I said, trying to bring out questions that a lot of people have. The bottom line is all of us are living in a world where what I call Lucifer, the dark forces, the evil, is reigning supreme. And instead of just killing each other over differences in opinion, what we need to do is come together and all learn from each other. And what Joshua has said is so true. I don't like that phrase, dirty rags. I know it's in the Bible, but the bottom line is, yes, all of us are imperfect. But all of us who are intentionally in our hearts, and God knows all of our hearts, if we're trying to do the right thing, and we're on a walk. And my parents were atheists. It was years and years before I even entered a church. I don't think God's going to, be judgmental against me for that, just because of the fact that my parents had no clue. I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm growing, and I'm making an attempt on all levels at all times. But I want to bring people together instead of dividing people, and understanding that we are in spiritual warfare. That's the main thing I wanted to bring forth on these shows, and for listeners to understand that all religions, well, at least the Muslims and the Christians that we're hearing from now, but I also know the Jewish people feel the same, that this demonic aspect, that this is a real entity. We are having a spiritual warfare against us, and we have to do our best to pray and ask for enlightenment and to be led to understand what's true so that we can get ourselves out of these holes of misinformation. So, Pastor John, please respond.
Well, the response that I have, I think, is very critical here, because I personally do not believe that we have any power over demons unless it is in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there are people who would say, well, I've gotten rid of a demon just from saying, God, get rid of it.
And New Agers get rid of devils from their, from
their little crystals and different things like that.
Yeah.
So I personally believe
at what expense?
Exactly. Yeah, what Pastor Josh just brought up is very true. We have known, both personally and in ministry, we have known people who try to deal with demons outside of the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to actually read from Acts 19, because this is a passage in Scripture where some people actually tried to do this very thing. They actually didn't know Jesus. They just used his name, thinking that, okay, well, we saw other people using the name of Jesus to try to get rid of demons. But because there was no faith and conviction in these seven sons of Sceva, these were actually seven sons of a Jewish priest. And I'm going to read from Acts chapter 19, verse 13 here. It says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, and again, there's the key, they were looking at Paul driving out demons, truly driving them out in the name of Jesus, and they didn't actually know Jesus themselves. They tried to do it without that, and here's what happened. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Verse 14 says, seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them. This is one evil spirit said, Jesus, I know. This is the evil spirit talking out of this person. Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then that man who had the evil spirit jumped on all of them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Now, my position, Dr. Carley, is very clear. I believe that people who try to deal with the supernatural powers of hell without the name and the blood and the personal conviction of Jesus who came to... that relationship with him, if they try to deal with them, they are at risk in two ways, very clearly in Scripture. Number one, they're at risk in this way. They're at risk that demon who has power, demons do have power, they're at risk if they try to combat a demon without a full manifest conviction knowing of this Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, when he walked on the earth, he's the first one that we see who with authority in Mark chapter 1, he started his ministry. He came on the scene. He said, Peter and John and Andrew and Simon, watch this. He said, come follow me. In Mark chapter 1, he got his four closest disciples. He called them away from their nets, and he said, now watch this. And he went over in Mark chapter 1, and he dealt with a demon with such authority that those original disciples were amazed because they never had seen somebody that could so forcefully evacuate demons from the premise. Now, my position I want to make abundantly clear on this broadcast is that if a person tries to deal with demons outside of a full relationship with Jesus, they're at risk of literally being hurt by the demon. I have seen demons come out of people. In fact, Pastor Josh and his wife are both here. They had too have witnessed people literally being beat up by a person who has demons because they didn't have the full revelation, intimacy, knowledge of this glorious Son of God, Jesus Christ, and so they literally were hurt by demons. I have known people who have gotten hurt by demons. The first risk is that if you try to deal with demons and you don't know the one who created these demons and had authority over them, who is Jesus Christ, you're at risk of physically being hurt. The second risk you entail in and of yourself, too, is without, the Bible says in Revelation 12, we read this yesterday, that all the powers of Satan were overcome. And I'll read it again if we'd like the listeners to hear this. But in Revelation 12, it says, Satan and all the powers of hell were overcome by three things. And if these three things are not in order in a person's life, they are jeopardizing themselves by trying to confront the powers of darkness. The three things are simply this. It says in Revelation chapter 12, it says, they overcame the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The blood cleanses our souls and our bodies, and then it actually provides literally a spiritually protective covering over our lives. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the Word, which is the actual Word of God, their testimony being what the Word says. It says the Word of their testimony, and they love not their lives even so much as not even to shrink from death. So, Dr.
Okay,
Carley,
John,
I have to stand.
Pastor John, wait, I have to interrupt you. We only have 1 minute left.
Okay.
I just want to say we're going to have to continue this broadcast, and please let me know if you can continue next week.
Sure.
This is so important because
okay.
Two things I have to ask you right off the bat. You just said something about Jesus creating demons. I would like the listeners to be enlightened as to why Jesus would create demons, and I know Jesus is the Son of God. So why would God create demons? Give us a break, okay? And the other thing is, why doesn't Billy Graham talk about demons? He never talks about demons. He talks about Satan. This is just like
things.
Some, you know, oblivious bad guy out there. He doesn't bring forth to his people that are coming to him on their knees, asking for his help, wanting to know what they should do for depression and other things. He's sending them to Satan or Lucifer, whatever, to take these demonic drugs. Why don't any of these quote-unquote Christians talk about demons? So we're out of time. We're out of time.
Okay.
Please call me. I want to continue this broadcast. God bless both of you. And I just want to highlight that Pastor John and Pastor Joshua are the real deal. I saw them do this. I saw them do this. And that's why I'm so excited. I wish the two of you could have a worldwide ministry and do what you're doing, because we would be in a whole different place if you did.
More to come by the grace of God.
Amen.
So God bless both of you for everything you've done, for coming into my life, and I hope that you can be on the show again so we can continue this. Stay tuned,
we're
listeners, because spiritual warfare is where it's at, folks, and I know this to be the truth. God bless you all, and please stay tuned for further broadcasts. Bye-bye.
Okay.